I want you to imagine a scenario that is probably happening right now, like this very second, in a glass office building somewhere. You need a new VP of sales.
Oh, yeah, a massive role.
Exactly. High six figures, the company car, the whole package.
Yeah.
You post the job ad on LinkedIn.
And within 48 hours, your inbox is just destroyed.
Completely destroyed. You've got 5,000 applications. Maybe six. It's just a total tsunami of PDF files. Now you look at this pile and you know you cannot physically read them. You have a business to run. So you call up your fancy recruitment agency.
Right, which is the standard move. I mean, you pay the experts to handle the noise.
Yeah. And the agency says, "Relax, we have this incredible new proprietary tool. It uses cutting-edge AI to scan every single one of those 5,000 CVs. We will have a short list of the top 10 candidates on your desk by tomorrow morning."
And you think you just won the lottery. Maximum efficiency, zero effort.
Right. You get the list, you interview the top three, hire one, and everyone goes out for drinks. It feels like a triumph of modern business. But looking at the source material we are doing a deep dive on today regarding the new EU AI Act, you might have just walked your company into a legal
A
minefield.
minefield that could literally cost you millions. Because it's not just a minefield. It is an existential risk. What you see as an administrative hack to save time, the European Union now classifies as a high-risk activity.
And that is the exact disconnect we need to explore in this deep dive. Because, most people think high-risk AI means self-driving cars or facial recognition at the airport. They do not think it means a resume scanner.
Yeah, that is the most dangerous assumption right now. If you actually look at Annex 3rd of the AI Act, it explicitly lists the specific use cases that trigger these high-risk obligations. And sitting right there, in black and white, is AI used for employment, workers' management, and access to self-employment.
So specifically, what does that actually cover? Is it just the final hiring decision?
No, not at all. It covers the entire pipeline. It includes systems used for recruitment, for selecting natural persons, placing targeted job advertisements, and this is the big one for our scenario, analyzing and filtering candidates.
Okay, so the exact moment that agency software decided candidate A is a match and candidate B is rejected, it triggered the law.
Precisely. And the reason isn't because the EU hates efficiency. It's because the impact of that software is life-altering. If a self-driving car crashes, someone gets hurt. If a recruitment algorithm malfunctions, thousands of people are denied a livelihood. The stakes are incredibly high.
But, I mean, you mentioned malfunction. In our scenario, the tool worked. It gave you 10 names.
It gave you 10 names, sure, but how did it pick them? This is the classic black box problem. Most of these tools are trained on historical data. They look at who the company hired in the past and try to find patterns.
Which sounds totally logical until you realize who companies actually hired in the past.
Right. If you feed the system 10 years of hiring data, and for 10 years you mostly hired men from three specific universities, the AI does not know that was just preference or bias. It views that as the mathematical formula for success.
Wow. So it starts rejecting qualified women or people from different schools simply because they don't match that specific historical data pattern.
Exactly. And you, sitting in your office, you never see the 4,990 people who were rejected. You assume the smart tool filtered out the unqualified ones. In reality, it might have just filtered out everyone who didn't look exactly like your last VP.
And that is where the legal hammer drops. Because under this new act, you can't just shrug and say the computer did it.
You really can't. And it goes much further than just high risk. There are actual prohibitions. As of February 2nd, 2025, which is right around the corner, Article 5 of the Act bans certain AI practices entirely. You simply cannot use them.
Wait, banned entirely? What falls under the ban?
Things that infer sensitive data. You cannot use AI to infer a candidate's race, political opinions, or religious beliefs from biometric data. And perhaps most relevant to the recruitment world, emotion recognition is largely prohibited in the workplace.
Oh, I have seen those tools pitched. The ones that analyze a video interview and tell you if the candidate is enthusiastic or nervous based on their facial micro expressions.
Yeah. If an agency tries to sell you that today, they are selling you a lawsuit. That is a prohibited practice. If you use it, you are breaking the law, full stop.
Okay, so there are banned tools and high-risk tools. Let's go back to the high-risk ones, the standard resume filters. I want to talk about the candidate for a second. In the old days, if you didn't get the job, you got a generic email. Thank you for your interest. We went in another direction. End of story.
That era is completely over. We need to look at Article 86. It introduces a statutory right to
I
explanation.
write to know why the computer said no.
Effectively, yes. If a candidate is subject to a decision based on a high-risk AI system that produces legal effects or significantly affects them, and being rejected from a job pipeline certainly counts, they can legally demand an explanation.
So one of those thousands of rejected applicants can email you and ask, why was I filtered out?
And you cannot reply with, we had many qualified applicants. You have to provide a clear, meaningful explanation of the role the AI system played in the decision and the main elements of the logic it used.
But I have no idea what the logic was. I hired an agency. I don't even know the name of the software, let alone the math behind the algorithm.
And that is the terrifying part for the hiring brand. You think you can just forward the email to the recruitment agency and say, hey, you guys deal with this? But the law might not let you off the hook that easily.
This is the deployer versus provider distinction in the sources, right?
It is. The act separates the provider, the company that actually built and developed the software, from the deployer, which is the entity using the system under their authority.
And in our scenario, who is the deployer? The agency or me?
It's a bit murky, but often it is the hiring company. If the agency is acting on your behalf, finding employees for your organization, and you are the one making the final decision based on that filter, there's a very strong argument that you are the deployer. You are the one applying the tool to the real world.
So the legal and reputational blowback sits right on the brand that posted the job ad.
In many cases, yes. And it gets even stickier if you customize things. Article 25 is essentially a trapdoor. It states that if a deployer makes a substantial modification to the system, they can be legally reclassified as the provider.
Wait, what counts as a substantial modification?
It could be as simple as tweaking the weighting of the algorithm.
Right.
If the agency says, here is the standard model, and you say, actually, I want to prioritize candidates from these five universities and drop anyone with a gap in their resume longer than 6 months. If they adjust the algorithm to do that, you might have just become the provider.
Meaning I now owe the EU technical documentation, risk management assessments, and all that compliance paperwork.
Correct. You inherit the entire compliance burden of a software developer just because you tweaked the settings.
That seems like a massive oversight for most HR departments. They treat those sliders and settings like preference toggles, not like legal declarations.
It requires a completely different mindset. And we haven't even touched on the transparency obligations yet. Article 50 demands that you inform natural persons if they are interacting with an AI.
So you can't just hide it behind the curtain.
No. If you use a chatbot to screen applicants or an automated video analysis tool, you must tell the candidate up front. You cannot pretend it is a human process until the final interview.
I want to zoom out a bit here because I can hear the skeptics in the audience. They're thinking, okay, lots of rules, but does this really matter? Is the EU actually going to come after a mid-sized company for sorting PDFs? It feels a bit abstract.
It feels abstract until you look at the precedent. We have a very clear historical example of what happens when algorithmic sorting goes wrong in Europe. It wasn't strictly recruitment, but it is the foundational case study for this entire law, the Dutch Toeslagen affair.
The childcare benefits scandal.
Yes. This is crucial to understand because it shows the scale of the damage. The Dutch Tax Administration used a self-learning algorithm to detect fraud in childcare benefit applications. The intent was financial prudence. They just wanted to catch cheaters.
Which is the exact same logic as the resume filter. Find the bad ones, keep the good ones.
Exactly. But the system had a fatal flaw in its risk profile. It began to disproportionately flag families with dual nationalities or foreign-sounding names as high risk for fraud.
So it was literally profiling based on nationality.
Effectively, yes. And because the agency trusted the smart tool, they acted on those flags aggressively. Thousands of families were falsely accused of fraud. They were ordered to repay tens of thousands of euros in benefits that they were actually legally entitled to.
And the human cost of that was horrific.
It destroyed lives. People lost their homes because of the sudden debt. Marriages broke up under the financial stress. It was a massive humanitarian disaster caused entirely by a data processing error.
And politically, didn't the government collapse?
The entire Dutch government resigned in 2021 over this. The prime minister stepped down. And the Dutch Data Protection Authority imposed a fine of 2.75 million euros.
That really puts the high-risk label into perspective. The EU isn't just being annoying with red tape. They are trying to prevent automated systems from ruining people's lives at scale.
And notice that fine. 2.75 million euros was under the old rules. Under the new AI Act, the fines are designed to be much, much more painful.
Let's look at those numbers. Article 99. If a company messes this up today, what is the actual damage?
It is tiered based on the severity. If you violate the prohibitions, like using that emotion recognition software we talked about, the fine can be up to 35 million euros, or 7% of your total worldwide annual turnover, whichever is higher.
7% of global turnover? That isn't a parking ticket. That is a "we might have to close the company" type of fine.
It's designed to be a boardroom issue, not just an IT issue. Now, for violating the high-risk obligations, like failing to have human oversight or proper documentation for your recruitment filter, It is up to 15 million euros, or 3% of turnover.
And to reiterate what we said earlier, you cannot just blame the agency when the regulator shows up.
No. Article 26 requires the deployer to ensure human oversight. You cannot outsource the liability. If you stand in court and say, "Well, the agency didn't tell me the software was biased," the judge will just ask, "Why didn't you audit them?" Ignorance is simply not a legal defense strategy.
So silence from your suppliers is actually a massive red flag.
It is the biggest red flag you can have right now.
Okay, we have sufficiently terrified everyone, I think. The fines are massive, the risk is high, and the old way of doing things is essentially illegal. Let's pivot to the solution. If I'm listening to this deep dive and I realize my hiring process is a black box, what do I actually do today?
The very first step is triage. You need an immediate audit of your supply chain. You need to know exactly what tools are running in your name.
So I get the recruitment agency on the phone. What are the specific questions I am asking them?
You ask three specific things. One, are you using AI to filter, rank, or evaluate candidates? Two, how do you monitor that system for bias or errors? And three, where exactly is the human in the loop?
And if they give you a vague answer, like, "Oh, it's proprietary, it's a trade secret,"
then you hang up and find a new partner. You cannot afford to work with black box vendors anymore. If they cannot explain the logic to you, you cannot explain it to the candidate, and you are immediately non-compliant.
Is there a more formal way to handle this, though? Just ask them feels a bit loose for a serious compliance strategy.
Yes, there is a gold standard emerging called ISO 42001.
Which is what? Exactly?
Think of ISO 9001, which is the classic standard for quality management. ISO 42001 is the international standard for an AI management system, or AIMS. It creates a structured, auditable framework for how your entire organization handles AI.
So it turns the legal panic into an actual checklist?
Effectively, yeah. It forces you to document your policies, your risk assessments, your data lineage. It proves that you have real governance in place.
Mm-hmm.
If a regulator comes knocking, showing them your ISO certification and your audit logs is a very different conversation than just giving them a blank stare.
I noticed in the source material there is talk of AI registries as well, platforms like Deki or HI.AI. How do those fit into the picture?
Those are the technological layer for compliance. An AI registry allows you to fingerprint the models you are using across your organization. It documents where the model came from, what data it was trained on, its version history, all of that.
It's almost like a passport for the software.
Exactly like a passport.
Yeah.
And it allows for what we call visual proof. Companies can use these tools to generate a digital compliance badge. It's a way to signal to the market, to clients, and to regulators, "Hey, we are using AI, but we are using it responsibly and transparently."
Which brings us to the timeline. Because these regulations aren't hypothetical future laws, they are happening right now.
The clock is ticking very loudly. The first major deadline is February 2nd, 2025. That is for the prohibitions. If you are using banned tech, like emotion recognition, you need to stop yesterday.
And what about the high-risk obligations for the standard recruitment filters?
August 2nd, 2026. Now, that might sound like you have plenty of time, but implementing an ISO 42001 framework, auditing all your third-party vendors, cleaning up your data, and setting up an AI registry, that is easily an 18-month project for a complex organization.
So if you haven't started, you are already behind.
You are definitely playing catch-up, yes.
Let's wrap this up. We started with the dream of the automated VP search. Fast, cheap, easy. We've realized that under the EU AI Act, that dream is a potential liability nightmare.
It completely shifts recruitment from an administrative task to a high-stakes compliance challenge.
We know that candidates now have the right to explanation. They can demand to know why they were rejected. And if you can't tell them, you are on the hook for fines up to 7% of your global turnover.
And we know that outsourcing isn't a shield anymore. You are the deployer. The buck stops at your desk.
But I want to look at the upside here. Is this all just bad news and red tape?
I really don't think so. I think there is a massive opportunity here for the companies that actually get it right. We are living in a low-trust world right now. People are terrified of algorithms deciding their fate.
Trust is becoming an absolute scarcity.
Exactly. If you can be the company that proves its hiring process is fair, that displays that compliance badge. That can actually explain its decisions to candidates. That is a massive competitive advantage. You will attract the best talent because people want to work for a company that treats them with dignity, not just as data points to be filtered.
So compliance isn't just about avoiding the fine. It's about building the brand.
Absolutely. Good governance is good business.
That is the big takeaway. Don't wait for the lawsuit. Pick up the phone today. Call your vendors and ask the hard questions. If they can't answer, they can't be part of your future. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We spent this whole time talking about the danger of the HR tools filtering out the candidates. But what happens when the candidates start using AI to perfectly reverse engineer your filters?
Oh, the arms race.
Exactly. If your AI is looking for specific historical keywords, it won't be long before candidates use their own AI to perfectly mimic that historical data on their resumes. You won't be filtering humans anymore. You'll just have your HR bots interviewing candidate bots, and the company with the best algorithm wins the job. Something to think about as we move into this brave new world of hiring. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We will see you next time.